And being a man of power, Carlos Wayne Anderson, come on into the house. Hey, brother.
Hello. Hello. Hi, my brother.
How are you? How are you, honey?
I'm so good. I have been so blessed by the service so far that I have been brought to tears a couple of times with my gratitude for God allowing me to be a part of this ministry. Adrian and her baby Roman like brought me to tears. The song that Erica just sang was my dad's all-time favorite. He was always humming it or singing it under his breath and just getting out loud, singing it throughout the house. And I am super blessed. And just the opening of the service, every time Zoe sings Unity New York, it thrills me at a deeper level. I have been bragging on Unity of New York, probably maybe a little too much for some of the other churches, but I can't help myself. Unity has it going on. All that you're offering, all that you're making available, the spirit, the love, the talent, what Leo is doing, it's just mind-blowing. My heart, my cup runneth over. That's how I'm doing.
I'm so glad you're here. And I have loved hearing from the early onset of this time on Facebook Live. So many minister friends of mine around the country saying, well, with a little bit of gratitude, a little bit of jealousy, saying, well, aren't you guys just setting the bar for everyone? I'm like, we can't help it. Our village is a village, and it takes the village. And we've got it going on. And I'm so glad to know that about LaVerne's favorite song, if I can help someone. And I'm just always so glad to see you. And it was wonderful to catch up with you last week. But I don't want to rob everybody else of some time with you. So take it away, Brother Carlos. I love you.
Okay. I do want to say a public thank you to my brother, Reverend Britt. I needed to call on him for some assistance to bring to a process that was happening at one of the Unity churches I'm involved in. They need more education, more understanding of what Unity is, what it stands for, help with membership and help with policies. And I wanted to go into last Sunday service when I was there with that information, and the Spirit told me, call your brother, Reverend Britt Hall. And after spending about 20 minutes with Reverend Britt, I was so centered, so prepared, and so dressed for success in that meeting, and it made a world of difference. So thank you once again, Brother Britt, my reverend friend. Okay, everybody, my talk title today is Observe Without Absorbing. All of you know, or most of you know, if you've seen me before, that one of my favorite things to share with people is how I start the day, how I begin every single day. These are the words that come out of my mouth, and I speak them sincerely. And the words are, it's the best day ever, and I will not change my mind. It's the best day ever, and I will not change my mind. This is my own languaging or updating into modern language, a scripture that has been in my heart and in my mind since I was a child. And the scripture is, this is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. This is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. So whether it's spoken in Bible language or whether it's Reverend Carlos saying, it's the best day ever and I will not change my mind. It's the same meaning with the same intention. I've told you that I used to wait for the day to inform me as to what it is. And at the end of the day, I would say it was that kind of a day based on what I experienced and based on the day and the activities and the things that happened and the conversations that happened and what's going on in the greater world and what's going on in the church world and what's going on in my family system. If everything went the way I wanted it to, I would say it was a great day. If, on the other hand, I met many obstacles, things seemed to fall apart. Stuff that I had planned on seemed to not manifest into reality. Some dreams were deferred for me. And what I was witnessing happening in the greater world and in the world of churches and in the world of my family gave me evidence that supported my opportunity to say it was a really hard day, or it was not a good day. Today was such a struggle. At some point several years ago, I was given a revelation not to let the day inform me what it is, but for me to declare from the onset of the day what it will be for me. And so every time you stand strong in an affirmation or make a commitment to view life in a higher way, in a more holy way, in a way in which I am in my power, you will be tested. And so the first several months that I began to say, it's the best day ever and I will not change my mind, the universe, wanting to know whether or not I was serious, brought an abundance of challenges into my life. I think the very next morning, after declaring that, I went outside and my tire was flat. I didn't have a spare, couldn't find my jack. And this was going to mean that I was going to miss a meeting that was important to me, not only spiritually, but it was important financially. It was a large piece of my income for that month. And as I sat there looking for the jack and discovering that I didn't have a spare, I hear in my mind, so, Carlos, is it still the best day ever? Or does this cause you to change your mind? And I started giggling like a little kid, knowing that the universe was testing my seriousness and my sincerity. And as I shut my trunk back up and went back into the house to call the meeting to let them know I wouldn't be able to attend, I said to myself, it's the best day ever, and I will not change my mind. Whether you begin your day saying it's the best day ever and I will not change my mind, or this is the day the Lord has made, I will rejoice and be glad in it, you will not so much change the circumstances of that day, you will change your consciousness about that day. And to change your world requires that we change our mind. When I begin my day with a statement, I am setting myself up. I'm setting myself up for an intention to look for all the reasons I can find that support my claim, it's the best day ever. And as we know, what we seek, we will find. And what we look for, we will see. This does not mean that you don't also see the mix that life is and the mix that the appearances of things seen present to you. You see all the wonderful things, like the fact that there are trees and birds and sunshine, and people still having babies, and people still getting married, and people still holding hands. But you also are presented with the appearance of something other than that claim. So you see strife. You see the isms being played out. You see also the picture of division alongside of the picture of unity. And what I've discovered for myself, that when I notice these things, I should make sure that I observe them, but do not absorb them. I absorb all the wonderful things I see. And with those things that appear to be manifestations of the idea of separation from our Creator and from one another and from a sense of safety and whole being, I observe that evidence, but I do not absorb it to the best of my ability. I will remind you of what I said earlier. This is tested for me at times, and I'm getting better and better and better at mastering this for myself, because perfect practice makes perfect living. When I observe conditions that are not ideal, I do what we were reminded to do by one of the Kennedy brothers. From my understanding, he did not coin this phrase, but he made it popular for all the world to hear. And that phrase is that some see things as they are and ask why. Others see things as they could be and ask why not. I think this is happening all over the planet right now. I think that we are beyond a time where it serves any purpose, our own purpose, or the purpose of forwarding heaven on planet Earth, God's eternal purpose, that it serves us to be among the second group, where we have stopped looking at things and saying, why? And that we have begun to step into looking at things as they could be and saying, why not? And as we've said before, if it is to be, it is up to me. This allows me to step into my power, into my authority, and to be a true agent of change, a true forwarder of heaven on planet Earth. Observe what needs to be changed, but don't absorb it. When you absorb the beauty of the world, seeing that, that's a blessing. That's nurturing. That's life-giving. But to absorb the shadow, to absorb the negative energy, and to absorb the manifestation of the appearance of division and separation does not serve us. And so there's always work for me to do to keep my commitment to not change my mind, to declare every morning, it's the best day ever, and I will not change my mind. How can I tell when I am observing the shadow energy and not absorbing it? The way that I know whether I'm observing without absorbing or observing and absorbing are my feelings. My feelings are a barometer for me. Your feelings are a barometer for you. When you see what needs to be changed, does noticing that put you in a position of powerlessness or powerfulness? Does it drain your energy, or does it give you excitement? One thing is very true for me and for all of us, and that one thing that's very true is this: we are responsible for what we do with what we see. Too often, all of us have made a mountain out of a molehill with something that was not a positive thing. And many of us in the field of blessing, I love your planet. It's awesome. We can be surrounded by beauty, surrounded by the manifestation of unity and connection. And that is so great, that is so huge. And sometime with this blessing, this mountain of a blessing, we make the mountain into a molehill while making the shadow experience that is a molehill into a mountain. I love the revelations that I receive whispered into my ear when I feel like something is going wrong and I'm being done wrong. I hear a whisper in my ear. Yes, others can victimize others, but no one but me can take the experience of being victimized and proclaim myself to be a victim. When I had that revelation, it was quite an awakening. You mean I can be victimized without automatically being a victim? Yes, you can. Things can happen. They always have, and they always will. There are some people who live to abuse other people, who live to hold other people down, who live to deny people their civil rights, their sense of liberty, and their sense of safety. That's victimization. But Carlos Wayne Anderson, although some people individually or collectively can victimize you, only you can make you a victim. In the field of being victimized, it's a really wonderful opportunity to say, I want to look at things that can be and say, why not? And step into it. This is one thing I've learned over my long, long, long years of life. And that is this. It's not so much about what he did or she did or they did. When I have absorbed this, I am seen as a victim of this. So get this. It's not so much about what he, she, or they did. It's always about what I did with what they did. It's not what he, she, or they did to you, any of you. It's about what you did with what they did. Did you observe it? Or did you absorb it? That makes all the difference. When you observe, you are the witness. And being the witness to your own life is a very, very powerful position. It is the place of you as spirit, the place of you as the soul, watching the incarnation who bears your name, knowing that you are the greater power within that incarnation and that what you do is important. Once more, if you want to know what you're doing, check in with your feelings. Do you feel invigorated or do you feel drained? Do you feel powerless or do you feel powerful? The practice of observing without absorbing is one of the most powerful tools in my medicine bag. And I am grateful that Spirit revealed this tool to me. Surely you know by now, I'm not going to allow the Creator to give me any wisdom or understanding and just keep it for myself. I must share it with you because it's freeing, it's strengthening, and it's a blessing. Thank you so much, Unity of New York, for loving me as you do and for listening as you do and for owning the truth that sets us free. Peace.
Peace. Peace. Peace. Thank you, Brother Carlos. Powerful words.
Thank you, brother.
Coming right on through. I love the quote that you shared. Some see things as they are and ask why. Some see things as they could be and ask why not.
Amen.
You're responsible, honor.
Amen.
Amen. We love you so much. And I know that you know that. I know that you feel it.
I feel it.
Because I know you. I know you. I know you feel it.
Yes, I feel it. I feel it in my bones.
I'll be talking to you. I'll be talking to you and always holding you in my heart. And until next time, namaste, Brother Carlos. Be well. Take care of yourself.
Namaste, Unity.
And we're not finished with Carlos just yet. I invite you to get into a comfortable position where you can be still. You can open your heart a little wider. Open those ribs up a little more to take it in. Carlos has laid the foundation for us. And now we have the opportunity to go to that deeper place. So take a breath. Release it. Let's meditate.
The Spirit of God in me is my guide and my protector. I shall never be in need. I am made to rest in the place of plenty and in sweet nourishment. I am led always to peace and to deep refreshment. The Spirit of God in me is my soul's restoration. I am certain that wherever I go, goodness and mercy are there also along with me. And so they shall be so long as I live. And I will dwell in the conscious awareness of the Spirit of God in me, always, in all ways. God is my life. God is my health. God is my strength. God is my supply. God is my everything. The source of everlasting and eternal life is my life. The source of complete whole beingness is my health. The source of all power is my strength. The source of all abundance, prosperity, and riches is my supply and my plenty. God is my everything. God, who is everything, is my everything. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall never be in need. The Spirit of God in me is my guide and protector. I shall never be in need. I am made to rest in a place of plenty and sweet nourishment. I am led to peace and to refreshment. The Spirit of God in me is my soul's restoration. I am certain that wherever I go, go goodness and mercy also along with me.
and so they shall so long as I live. And I will dwell in the conscious awareness of the Spirit of God in me always, in all ways. God is my life. God is my health. God is my strength. God is my supply. God is my everything. The source of everlasting and eternal life is my life. The source of complete and total whole beingness is my health. The source of all power is my strength. The source of all abundance, prosperity, riches, and plenty is my supply. God is my everything. God, who is everything, is my everything. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall never be in need. Let me know my problems have been solved. Right now, let me know my problems have been solved. Yes, God, let me know my problems have been solved. For so it is. Amen. Amen. And amen.